again by Poetry Magazine, for over 90 years a premier publisher of contemporary verse. You can find it online at poetrymagazine.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 3rd of September, 2007. It's Labor Day, which was first celebrated in 1882 by the Central Labor Union in New York City, agitating for the 8-hour workday, the 40-hour work week, which for a while the country seemed to be heading toward. But today, more than 25 million Americans work more than 49 hours each week. 11 million spend 60 hours or more at work a week. Americans take fewer vacation days than people in any other industrialized country. A lot of writers have had to work at odd jobs. Salman Rushdie was an advertising man. So was Allen Ginsberg. Wallace Stevens was in the insurance business. Charles Bukowski worked, among other things, as a janitor, a truck driver, and a bouncer at a brothel. And Walt Whitman worked for a while teaching in one-room schoolhouses on Long Island. He wrote to a friend, "How tired and sick I am of this wretched, wretched hovel. Damnation, thy other name is schoolteaching." It's the birthday of writer Sarah Orne Jewett, born 1849, South Berwick, Maine. Wrote about the ships and fishermen and coastal villages of Maine, best known for her short novel, The Country of the Pointed Firs. Short story writer Sally Benson, born in St. Louis, 1900. She wrote a novel, Meet Me in St. Louis, was made into a movie musical. Wrote many, many stories for The New Yorker magazine. And the novelist Alison Lurie, born in Chicago, 1926, author of The War Between the Tates, about a college professor whose marriage begins to fall apart, and other novels about life in academia, including Foreign Affairs, about two American professors on sabbatical in England. Here's a poem for today by Carl Dennis, entitled Candles. If on your grandmother's birthday you burn a candle to honor her memory, you might think of burning an extra to honor the memory of someone who never met her, a man who may have come to the town she lived in looking for work and never found it. Picture him taking a stroll one morning after a month of grief with the want ads to refresh himself in the park before moving on. Suppose he notices on the gravel path the shards of a green glass bottle that your grandmother, then still a girl, will be destined to step on when she wanders barefoot away from her school picnic if he doesn't stoop down and scoop the mess up with the want ad section and carry it to a trash can. For you to burn a candle for him, you needn't suppose the cut would be a deep one, just deep enough to keep her at home the night of the hayride, when she meets Helen, who is soon to become her dearest friend, whose brother George, 30 years later, helps your grandfather with a loan so his shoe store doesn't go under in the Great Depression, and his son, your father, is able to stay in school, where his love of learning is fanned into flames, a love he labors later to kindle in you. How grateful you are for your father's efforts is shown by the candles you've burned for him. But today, for a change, why not a candle for the man whose name is unknown to you? Take a moment to wonder whether he died at home with friends and family, or alone on the road, on the lookout for no one to sit at his bedside and hold his hand, the very hand it's time for you to imagine holding. A poem by Carl Dennis, Candles, from New and Selected Poems 1974 to 2004, published by Penguin Books, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. Gift subscriptions are available at poetrymagazine.org. Produced by Robert McGinley Myers. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.